Darling, you and I know the reason why a summer sky is blue, and we know why birds in the trees sing melodies too, and why love will grow from the first hello until the last goodbye. So to sweet romance, there is just one answer, you and
artists from the big band era are here.
This is Les Brown.
This is Ann Ray Hutton.
This is Captain Glenn Miller.
This is Sammy Kaye.
This is Charlie Barnett.
It's Swing Street Radio.
Thank you.
the city by the Golden Gate. This is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio. Where the big bands swing. It's time for Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll bust crime with gangbusters. But first, on the lighter side, it's the Red Skelton Show. The Red Skelton Show was a radio enigma. Like many of radio's big-name comics, Skelton came up the hard way. Born the son of a circus clown in 1913, he eventually took up his dad's life. By 1928, Skelton had broken into burlesque and gained so much in popularity that by the late 1930s, Skelton was invited to appear on the Rudy Valley Show. His main interest was in movies in vaudeville until October of 1941, when Raleigh Cigarettes brought him to NBC for his own long-running Tuesday night program. Skelton became a one-man theater of the absurd. He was voted Outstanding New Radio Star of 1941. When the show went on in 1941, Ozzie Nelson's band provided the music. His Tuesday night spot for Raleigh continued until 1948, when he moved to Fridays for Tide. Skelton's final season, 1952 through 1953, found him in his original time slot. Return with us now to those fascinating days of yesteryear with The Red Skelton Show, broadcast October of 1948. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Procter & Gamble brings you the Red Skelton Show, starring Red Skelton, Dave Rose, and his orchestra, our singing stars, the Four Knights, Verna Felton, Lorene Tuttle, Pat McGeehan, and yours truly, Rod O'Connor. And now from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the star of our show, Red Skelton.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, by the way, Rod, how was your trip to St. Louis with Art Linkletter last week?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yes, well, Don't you get tired flying around the country all the time?
Oh, no, those DC-6s and Constellations are wonderful.
Yeah, but you got to lose weight.
What do you mean? One of the stewardesses told me that they strapped you in your berth, and during the night you turned over in your sleep, and they flew 90 miles upside down.
Skip what's written here and pick up the next one.
I'm not that fat.
Hey, I'm sorry you couldn't come to our housewarming, Rod.
Well, I'm sorry too, Red, yeah. But I'm glad that you and your wife, Georgia, have finally settled in your new house. How do you like it?
Oh, fine. We just stand around and look at it all the time.
You mean you stand around because you're so thrilled with it?
No, after paying for the house, we haven't got any money left to buy any furniture.
Well, what kind of house is it?
It's a Spanish house.
Stucco?
I certainly was. But it wasn't. It was a pretty good bargain, though. $10,000 home for only $30,000 down.
Who owned it before you?
Some used car dealer, I think. It's nice, though. It's got a sunken living room, they told me after I sprained my ankle.
Well, it must be old. You know, those sunken living rooms are old-fashioned.
I know, but earthquakes are still the vogue in California. Earthquakes, huh?
How many rooms does it have?
One thing about us, when they're lousy, they're good and lousy.
How many rooms does it have?
How many rooms? Well, yeah. Let's see. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Counting the closets?
No.
Oh, 5 rooms.
How many baths do you have?
I have one every morning. Why? Hey, here's a picture of the house. It's a picture of the house.
Yeah?
Of course, it'll look better when I chop those weeds down.
Well, if I were you, I'd leave the weeds and chop the house down.
Well, it ain't that bad.
No, I'm kidding. Say, you do have a nice view of the mountains, though.
Oh, those aren't mountains. You see, I started a rock garden. It got away from me. Hey, here's a picture of the kitchen. Here's the picture of the kitchen.
Look at that sink. It's right down on the floor.
Yeah, it is kind of low.
Must be a strain to wash the dishes. Doesn't your wife complain?
Only when I ask her to massage my back after I finish the dishes.
What kind of furniture do you have? Is it Swedish modern period or early American?
American surplus. Army surplus.
Army surplus?
Yeah, we use a life raft for a mattress, old Spam cans for flower pots, combat boots for bedroom slippers, and you should see the deep freeze. It's a Sherman tank with a lieutenant in it.
Why a lieutenant?
Huh?
Why a lieutenant?
They're the coldest things I ever met.
Well, you know, it'll be a nice house when you get it all fixed up, but it's going to cost you a lot of money.
No, not with Georgia around. She's an artist. You know, mm-hmm. Last week she papered the hall with rolls of piano music. Mm-hmm.
How does it look?
Well, it looks all right, but every time you sneeze, the walls play Holiday for Strings. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Four Knights will sing Casey Jones. Sing it like you do at the cricket club, boy.
Come all you rounders.
Now if you want to hear the story of a brave engineer, fellow who never knew the meaning of beer, Casey Jones was the rounder's name.
On a 6-8 wheeler, boy, he won his fame.
The caller called Casey at 4:30, kissed his wife at the station door. Then he mounted to the cabin with his orders in his hand, and he took his farewell trip to the promised land. Casey Jones
mounted to the cabin.
Well, Casey Jones
with his orders in his hand.
Casey Jones
mounted to the cabin.
Oh, well, he took a farewell trip into the promised land. Now put down your water shovel and your coat. Stick your head out the window, watch them on driver's road. I'll run her till she leaves the rail, cause I'm 8 hours late with the Western mail. Looked at his watch and his watch was slow. Looked at the water was low. Then he turned to the fireman and he said,
hey, we're gonna reach Frisco, but we oughta be dead.
Then Casey rounded up that Reno hill and he tooted for the cross and with an awful thrill. Which one knew by the engine's moan that the man at the throttle was Casey Jones?
He pulled up within 2 miles of the place, and old number 4 standing right in the face. He turned to the fireman and said, boy, you better jump, cause there's 2 locomotives and they're going to bump.
Hey,
look out, Casey.
2 locomotives.
Casey, look out.
Boy, you better jump.
Casey Jones, he never left the cabin on his farewell trip to the promised land.
You thought it was going to be something good, didn't you? Me back again. This is a story about two people who impress only themselves when they try to impress other people.
Good morning, Willie.
Look, you're trying to start an argument. What'd you wake me up for?
It's time for you to go to work.
You mean you woke me up just to tell me that?
Willie, if you don't hurry up, you'll be late for work. Remember, you've got 3 mouths to feed.
Now, when did I grow 2 more mouths?
I was referring to myself and the other responsibility we acquired a year or two after we were married.
Oh, yeah. Well, you tell your mother I'm tired of supporting her. Tell her to get out. Tell her to pack her racing form and go. I like that. Tell her to pack her racing form and go. Why do I have to go to work, anyway?
Well, if you work now, you can retire and take it easy when you're 60.
Well, what if I take it easy now?
You'll have to work when you're 60.
Well, maybe I'll be lucky and won't live to 60. Answer that one, wise girl.
Oh, Willie, you provoke me.
Yeah, you provoke me, too. Tell her to pack her racing form and...
Here's your orange juice.
Now, could I have the glass, please?
Throw it at you, but you get me so mad. Now will you please get out of bed?
Yeah, I can't budge. I started to say bulge. I can't budge. I got so many covers on me last night, they got me pinned down this morning.
The covers aren't holding you down. You're sleeping under the mattress.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. I wanted my pants to have a nice crease in them, so I put them under the mattress and I was too tired to take them off.
Oh, get dressed and I'll make some breakfast.
Yeah, let's not have biscuits again.
We didn't have biscuits last week.
That's what I mean. Let's not have them again this week.
Here's some clean socks.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave me some clean ones. Those others were hitchhiking around the room last night.
Willie, will you be home early tonight?
I'll be home 20 minutes after.
20 minutes after what?
After they throw me out of Joe's place. That reminds me, I'm thirsty.
Oh, I'll get you some water.
I said thirsty, not dirty.
A glass of water won't hurt you.
Oh, it won't. Did you ever see the inside of a water pipe?
And did you ever see the inside of a fermented keg?
Well, I'd rather be moldy than rusty. Hey, what do you want me to come home early tonight for?
Because we're invited out to a party.
Good. Anybody we know?
Yes, why do you ask?
Well, people that know us don't usually invite us back the second time. Who is it, the Norm Thalens, those natural sports?
Huh? Oh, and by the way, Willie, the party is formal.
Yeah? Well, in that case, you better sew some tails on my sweatshirt. On second thought, I will wear my Mickey Mouse sweatshirt, and then you won't have to bother sewing on the tail.
Willie, I need
Sorry,
a new...
Sorry, I thought of that.
Willie, I need a new dress.
A new dress? Well, may I ask what's wrong with the last dress I bought you?
It's out of style.
What do you mean it's out of style already? You just got it for Dewey's speech, and as I recall, the Admiral complimented you on it. See, not this Dewey, the one that took Manila. I happened to look in the audience and I saw somebody explaining it. Terms, I thought I better.
Oh, Willie. I spend less on an evening dress than you spend in a week at Joe's place.
Yeah, but what I spend it on keeps me warm, boy.
Well, I guess we'll just have to cancel the date.
Yeah.
I won't wear my old dress. Makes me look a fright.
Well, as long as it's an improvement, what do you care?
Willie, do you want me to make a good impression?
Okay.
You do, don't you?
Okay.
And maybe you don't. Maybe you'd rather I wear my old rag.
I'll go out in a gunny sack.
Well, you a gunny sack would look good. It'll match that potato head of yours. Besides, my bank account is getting pretty low.
Have your checks been bouncing?
Bouncing? I got news for you. Did you know that last month when the bank returned my checks, the mailman dribbled them to the door?
Must you yell, Willie? Do you want all of the neighbors to hear you?
I don't care. I don't have to impress the neighbors. I don't have to impress anybody.
You said that twice.
Said what?
You don't have to impress people.
I just said that. You and your big mouth, you're the pig.
What did you say?
I said I don't have to impress people. That's right.
You're right, Willie. You don't have to impress people.
You're on a one dead-end street here.
When I noticed that last night at our party, you tried to impress your boss with one of your fancy mixtures.
Well, what do you mean by that? What was wrong with being neighborly?
Well, I suppose you know your boss is in the hospital.
No. What happened?
Well, you fixed him one of your Willie Lump Lump specials. Then he opened the window on the second floor and said, "Well, I think I'll fly around the block."
Yeah, I remember that now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And why didn't you stop him?
I thought he could make it.
And now, David Rose and the Procter & Gamble Orchestra will play Liza, and this week they will be in New Orleans at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Page from the Mean Little Kid's Diary.
Have you ever noticed how children are constantly being called stupid because they pick up a knife or a box of matches that Mom and Pop have left lying around? Well, let's see what happens when things like that are within reach of Junior, the Mean Little Kid.
Junior!
No, no, I had a boy.
Junior, what are you doing?
I had a boy.
Junior! Junior, why don't you answer me?
I thought I'd wait till I'm 21 and I'll be too old for a spanking.
Now, whatever gave you the idea I was going to spank you? Junior, what are you doing with my good blanket?
Well, I'm pretending I was on a camping trip, see, and this is me tent. This is me tent. And this is the flap where I go in.
Oh, I'll flap you, young man, my good blanket. Oh, phew. How can you stand the smell of all those mothballs?
Mothballs? Is that what them little things are? Yeah. I thought they were skunk eggs. Nemo, come on, climb in the tent with me. Get in out of the rain. Come on, get in out of the rain.
I wish I had your imagination, dear. But I just can't pretend it's raining in my own living room.
Yeah, well, it'll be easier for you when the tub upstairs starts to run over.
Oh, Junior, you're kidding me.
You keep laughing, kiddo, that's all. But in the meantime, while you're doing it, you better put on some water wings, I'm telling you.
Junior, you deserve a good whipping.
You mean right now?
Well, why not right
now? Well, I thought you'd like to check over all the stuff I got here in my tent, and then you may be able to kill two hairbrushes with one Junior.
That's an excellent idea. Yeah. Wait, what's that pile of wood for?
That's for my campfire if it gets cold.
Junior, you wouldn't build a campfire in the living room. What are you thinking of?
Toasted marshmallows.
Junior, do you have any matches?
No, I thought I'd rub two of those bottles at Grandpa's together. They seem to light him up, you know.
Junior! Well, at least you're not playing with matches.
No.
You know better than that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, because they don't do half a good a job as this blowtorch does.
Good heavens!
There you go, baby boy.
Give me that blowtorch.
Somebody with a stilloid leg or hot foot with that thing.
Junior, give me that blowtorch. I think I'd better take a look and see what else you have in your tent.
Well, now, don't mess with it.
Oh! A can of inflammable cleaning fluid, a hatchet, ant paste, yeah. Ice pick. Oh, my meat cleaver. Junior, what on earth are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of getting out of here while I'm still all in one piece.
Don't you realize that these things are dangerous?
Oh?
You mustn't play with sharp objects.
Why,
you might cut yourself.
Oh?
And Band-Aids are expensive.
Yeah. Well, nosy, while you're out snooping around, maybe you would like to see the rest of me buried treasure, too.
Yes, I would. Where are your buried treasures?
Over there. You see the part of the rug that's been cut in a square there?
Oh, no. Oh, you didn't cut a square in the rug.
No. Only on three sides, so it would open like a trap door.
Oh, my good hook rug.
Well, it don't look like you're going to have to hook another one.
I've got a good mind to tan you.
It won't do you any good. I'm not the type to tan. I just turn red.
Let's see what you've buried under there.
Here, only this thing. Here.
Your father's shotgun. Put it down!
But don't yell! You scared me, too! Well, don't get so excited. I look down the barrel. It ain't loaded. If anything came out, I could shoot it before it got out.
Junior, put that gun down.
It ain't loaded. Look, I pull the trigger and show you.
No! Are you all right, child? Oh, the backfire knocked you clean across the room. Oh, you're a good boy not to cry.
I didn't know I could cry. I thought I was dead.
I wonder if that shot did any damage to the house. But we'll see when the smoke clears away.
Oh, look, Nemo, now I got a cave to play in. The wall's gone.
Mother, what was that shot? That's no way to punish Junior. What happened?
Oh, Nemo and I had a little riff and she beat me to the draw.
Now, don't listen to him. Don't you listen to him. That stupid husband of yours left his gun where Junior could get a hold of it.
Junior, come here to me.
No, no, don't, please. No, I didn't know you would notice.
Junior, don't you realize that you might have been injured?
Yes, I might have been injured.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Now, maybe this will teach you to leave that
gun. No! We mummies are so unpredictable, you know.
You hit me. It's your fault. You should get the whipping for being too careless. You grown-up leave things around for us little kids. We don't know any difference.
Now, never mind the lecture.
I don't.
Now, get yourself up to your room.
I'm going next door and play with Phil Harris.
Oh, Mother. I hate to spank him so much.
I do, too. It's getting so lately, I see the back of him more than his face. Mother Bean. In this case, the child is right. It's our fault for leaving things within his reach.
Oh, just wait until his father comes home. Am I going to let him have it for leaving that gun loaded? Oh, why did I marry him anyway?
Well, you're just like your father. You'd marry anything.
What is it?
I got me finger cut in the mouth, Trav.
Well, what did you stick your finger in it for?
Well, I figured you would send me to bed without me supper, so I figured a little piece of cheese would be better than nothing at all.
Look, I think you'd better come back to my room, Junior, where I can keep an eye on you.
Mother, do you think juvenile jury could help us solve him?
No, dear. They only solve natural problems. Not supernatural.
Junior, go to my room.
Okay. I wish Bill Harris was sober so I could play with him. So, here I am, all alone. I wonder if there's any candy around here I could nab before the dictators come upstairs. Let's see. Oh, nothing in that drawer. Boy, it's as empty as a bar without a television set. What's this little box here on the bedstand? Jelly beans! Red jelly beans. Mommy calls them sleepy pills, but that's only because she knows how I hate to sleep. But, ooh, I love jelly beans. I just eat three or four of them. Boy, they bitter. Woo! I better get a drink of water to get that taste out of my mouth. My, let's see now if I can reach that glass up there. I stand on me tippy toes. Maybe I can reach it. Nope. I could have made it if Namo hadn't trimmed me toenails. I jumped for it. Oh, broke the glass. Well, I got to remember to tell Mummy about the broken glass. She might cut her feet when she takes a bath. I just crawl in the bathtub and get a drink from the spigot. Boy, there's nothing like crawling into a bathtub, especially when there's no water in it, you know.
You're doing in that bathtub.
I turned the shower on by mistake and tricked myself into taking a bath.
Well, get out of the bathtub. Be careful, you might slip, hit your head, and crack the enamel.
Yeah. Hey, Mama, can I take a nap? I get a little sleep.
You actually asked to take a nap?
Yeah.
Tell me, are you running a temperature?
No, I just feel sleepy. You think the Sandman made an early delivery today?
Look what's on the floor.
Oh, my sleeping pills.
Junior, did you eat any of these pills?
Oh.
He did. I'll get them.
Oh, open your eyes, Junior, and talk to me.
My eyes is open. I just got long lids all of a sudden.
Junior, answer me. Did you eat any of those sleeping pills?
Well, I ate them things in the box. Why didn't you tell me they were Halloween tricks? Jelly beans.
Oh, you poor little darling. Oh, what shall I do?
Don't let him go to sleep. The emergency squad is on the way. Keep him talking.
Talk to Mummy, darling. Yes. Say something. Anything.
Who won the fourth at Hollywood Park?
Can you hear me, baby?
No, but you sound like you're talking long distance.
Oh, Mother. Oh, it's all my fault for being so careless.
Lorraine, oh, my stomach's
maybe
growling.
This
my stomach's growling.
Stop leaving things around that are dangerous. Come in.
Bring the stomach pump, boys.
Here he is, Doctor.
Get to work on him, boys.
Okay, Doctor.
Oh, you've got to save him, Doctor.
Well, we'll do all we can.
It's all my fault.
Well, getting hysterical isn't going to help.
He'll be okay now, Doc.
Thank heavens. Stop crying, Lorraine.
Let her alone. Maybe the scare will make her realize that death is sometimes caused by careless parents. Well, last week alone, we had 32 accidents that should have been called deliberate. And all because of the carelessness of the parents who leave dangerous objects within the reach of children.
Oh, I feel faint. I think I'll go lie down.
He's okay now, Doc.
Oh, Mommy.
Yes, dear?
Now that you saved me life, you better tell Namo not to lay down on the bed.
What?
Oh! And it's an imaginary hugging fit. Lorraine, look what was in my bed. 2 bear traps.
Thanks for being with us tonight, and we hope you liked our program well enough to be with us next week. So until next Friday...
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening.
Brought Procter & Gamble invites you to join us again with Red Skelton next Friday. And now stay tuned to The Life of Riley, which follows immediately. Red Skelton is heard in this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
From October of 1948, it's been The Red Skelton Show. In a moment, Gangbusters with the Carnival Caper, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Radio, remember radio.
If you have a favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Gangbusters grew out of an earlier program called G-Men, which was first heard on NBC for Chevrolet back in 1935. Perhaps best remembered of all the police crime shows, it came about in the summer of 1935 when Phillips H. Lord talked NBC into developing what he called a thoroughly authoritative pilot series about the government's war against crime. Lord sold the idea to Chevrolet and then flew to Washington, D.C. to gather the official blessing of J. Edgar Hoover. Hoover agreed to let Lord use FBI files on closed cases, provided, of course, the Bureau would review the scripts, and the new series was off and running. In 1948, the program switched to CBS for General Foods, which carried it on Saturdays until 1953. It was then sustained on CBS from 1953 to 1955, last heard on Mutual for the 1955-57 season. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Gangbusters and the Carnival Caper, another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
And now, Gangbusters! Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
The case of the Carnival Caper, when robbery rode the big show train, until police officers found a mysterious passenger and stopped murder on the Carnival Midway.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable Victor E. Anderson, United States Attorney in Minnesota, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Now, Mr. Anderson, you told me that the crime in tonight's case was one of the most extraordinary in modern times.
That's right, Don Gardner. It was never ascertained exactly in the jurisdiction of which state the criminals finally got their hands on the loot they sought.
Well, do you mean that they got the loot in midair, so to speak, Mr. Anderson?
You'll see, Don. Suppose we start one spring afternoon a few years ago in the city of East St. Louis, Illinois. A flashily dressed, slightly built man in the middle 30s walked toward a second-floor door in an old but nicely kept apartment building. He set on the floor what looked like a brand-new suitcase, then knocked with a rhythm.
Yum, yum, yum. Boy, this will set him back. Madam, let me introduce myself. I have here the...
Yeah? Oh.
Madam, I have here...
Come on in, Crookie.
I have here the finest kitchen utensil ever put on the market.
You have what?
It saves you 93 steps a day plus 116 separate and distinct motions by a maid.
What's this all about?
What's it all about? Ain't it obvious? I got myself a keister and $3 worth of potato peelers, and I'm a businessman. How do you like the keister?
Oh, Crookie.
Look, you press a button and lights pop up.
Yeah.
See? Ain't that some gimmick? You see a crowd gather, you go over. Boom, you make the pitch. And the potato peelers ain't bad either.
Who needs a potato peeler?
Well, if you fixed a meal around here once in a while, one would come in handy.
Oh, yeah?
Look, I was walking down Broadway this afternoon. I see a grifter giving his pitch to a bunch of women standing there with their mouths open. The dollar bills was rolling in, and the junk he was passing out wasn't worth a dime. Not a nickel.
What do you need the keister for? Carnival gets rolling in a week. You got a good job waiting for you.
Look, that's just the idea, May. I decided I ain't going on the road with the show this season. Hey, you want to try one of these potato peelers?
No.
The Atomic Super Skinner, it's called. Great moniker, huh? Lots of sell.
Oh, this morning you were hot to get back with the show. This afternoon you got a keister and Atomic Super Skinners. Why the quick switch?
Well, baby, I figured 5 months without you, that's too much for me.
Crookie, you're such a big liar. They ought to put you in the freak tent.
No, honest, May, I'm nuts about you. I couldn't stand it.
Why aren't you going out with the show?
That's the truth.
Yeah?
All right, I ran into Vince Beggs, and we had a couple of beers.
Well, what's he got to do with it?
Well, Vince has got an idea. He and another guy, Walter something, you know him?
No.
Well, the idea is, since the show's a big moneymaker, the safe in the office wagon ought to be loaded. He figures they could knock it over like that in some jerkwater town we're playing.
So, you're leaving the show?
May, you know how Vince is. If I went out with the show, he'd make me promise I'd do the finger work. Well, I ain't going out with the show. I'm through being a rotten Connie. I got a keister and I'm a businessman.
You could have just said no to Vince.
Who, me?
Yeah.
To Vince? How can I say no to Vince? Look, May, once was enough. I don't want to get jammed up again. I like the fresh air. I don't want to see the inside of no jailhouse again.
Cookie.
So I'm through with the show.
How much do they keep in that office wagon safe?
I don't know. At the right time, maybe 30, 40,000. Look, May, I ain't getting involved.
Cookie, don't you love me?
What's this got to do with love?
Cookie, think of all the things we could have.
Yeah, stripes I could have. And about 10 years to wash them off.
You've got the easiest part of it.
I know, but... Look, May, don't start pounding it in too, will you?
I think you ought to go out with the show and do it for Vince. And for me.
Oh.
After it's over, we'll have the time of our lives. Just you and me, honey.
You really think it's okay?
Sure, it's okay, honey. Now, just forget about that keister and those potato peelers. You're going back with the show and treat him to the biggest stunt that carnival's ever seen. Hello, Vince.
Well, May.
Cookie got himself a keister and some potato peelers. He told me he wasn't going out with the show.
Oh. Sit down, baby. Didn't you talk to him?
Sure, I talked to him, Vince.
And everything's okay?
He leaves Tuesday.
May, you're a wonder.
Because Cookie does handstands for me, that makes me a wonder?
Baby, you're a wonder because I say so.
Okay. Now, what's in this deal for me?
Figure out what's in it for me, and that's what's in it for you.
You sure must think a lot of me, Vince, making me keep Cookie happy.
That's business, baby. After Cookie goes out with the show, that's when our pleasure starts. With Cookie in there pitching with the information, it ought to be as simple as driving down Main Street on Sunday.
Let's hope so. You've got more faith in Cookie than I have.
Cookie's job is easy. All he's got to do is pass along the dope and keep his mouth shut.
That's easy, keeping his mouth shut?
Easy enough. After I have a nice long chat with him.
Who's this Walter somebody? What's he in the deal?
A working man. An artist.
Oh?
One of the slickest guys with a safe dial and combination I know.
And he's going to take a big slice, huh?
He's worth it. You want a drink, babe?
No. No, let's get out of here.
How about your place?
No, thanks. Cookie's home.
Okay. I can think of some place he isn't. Let's go, baby.
Honest, May, I don't want to go out with the show.
If he missed the season with the carnival, he'd die. Isn't that right, May?
Yeah, come on. Get on the train, Cookie. It's going to pull out.
Well...
Your eyes open, Cookie.
Yeah, Vince, sure.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, goodbye, Cookie.
I'm going to miss you, May.
don't forget to change your socks.
Oh, May.
Aboard! All aboard!
Keep those letters coming, Cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll keep them coming. So long.
There he goes, baby. There goes our meal ticket.
$3 against $3 Knock the little lady off her perch and into the water. What's the prize? Did you say what's the prize? Well, you get to see that beautiful golden-haired creature take a bath. $3 for a quarter. Here you are, bud.
Hi, Cookie.
Hey, Vince. I don't expect to see you in Minneapolis until tomorrow.
$3 for a quarter. Knock the little lady into the drink.
It's a big deal. He decided to spend a little more time on the job.
Look, don't make yourself so obvious around the lot, will you?
$3 for a quarter. How about that, fella? $3 for a quarter.
I got Walter at the Hotel Henry. Meet me there tonight after the show, Cliff.
Three for it.
Listen, Vince, I don't want to go through with this deal. I've been out with the show long enough. I want to go back and see May.
Is that so?
Yeah. 3 months away from her is enough. I got to go back home and see her.
Meet me at the hotel, Vince. There's a little surprise waiting for you.
What kind of surprise?
I knew how much you missed May, so I brought her along.
You're kidding.
She's at the hotel.
Oh, Vince, you're a pal, a real pal.
Come over after the show's closed.
After it's closed, I'm coming now.
Stick on the job, huh? Will you? A big day soon. I don't want you to do nothing but cause talk.
But May, okay.
$3 for a quarter, gents. Come on, $3 for a quarter. Knock the little lady off her perch and into the water. What's the prize? Did you say what's the prize? Why, you get to see that beautiful golden-haired creature take a bath. $3 for a quarter.
I asked you, Vince. I asked you not to tell him you brought me along.
So I told him. He's got to be kept happy. Isn't that right, Walter?
Who knows?
Well, I didn't come all the way to Minneapolis to keep Cookie happy.
Look, I'm just a mechanic in his steel, but I say we're all in this for the dough we can get out of it. I don't care who's happy. Where is this Cookie guy?
He'll be here, Walter.
When? Nearly 2 a.m.
What are you, an early riser?
Strangely enough, yeah.
All right.
Safecracker, who's an early riser.
There he is.
Let him in, May.
Why me?
I'm that glad to see him.
Yeah, I'm tickled to death. All right, take it easy.
May, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Cut it out.
Oh, May, I'm so glad to see you. It's been like being a year back in stir.
Hell, I'm glad to see you, too.
Come over here, Cookie.
Hi, Vince. Come on, baby. Gee, it's great seeing you.
Yeah.
How you doing, Cookie?
Hi, Walter. What do you say we all go out and get a few drinks, huh?
No. You got a lot of talking to do, Cookie.
Talking? We can talk anytime. Let's just...
Cookie.
Oh. Okay. Talking.
The show breaks out of Minneapolis Saturday night. What's the schedule, Cookie?
Well, the... show train gets loaded Sunday morning. Pulls out later in the day. We open in Wichita, Kansas, Tuesday.
What about the stops?
Well, the first one's scheduled for Farmington.
Farmington? Where's that?
Still Minnesota.
They got to water and feed the menagerie. I guess the train will lay on the side in a couple hours.
Does the office wagon still ride on a flat car up near the front?
Didn't I write to you, Dad?
They could have changed it sometime during the season.
Well, if they changed it, I wouldn't have written to you. Wouldn't I, May?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be in Farmington when your show train pulls in. That all right with you, Walter?
Any place all right with me, just as long as I got room to cut a hole in the bottom of the office wagon.
You got plenty of room. The wagon rides on top of a flat car, like I told you.
Okay. That's it. Walter and I'll drive out there today and locate a good spot for us to wait. We'll let you know where to meet us, Cookie.
You... meet you? For what?
It's a three-man job, that's for what?
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Wait, nothing, we need you.
This is my part of the deal, the information. I didn't bargain for nothing else. Ain't that right, May?
Don't look at me. I don't know what kind of deals you made.
You'll be there to give us a hand. After it's over, you go back to the show and stay with it the rest of the season.
Do I have to?
Sure you have to. You leave the show after the job and you'll look suspicious.
Yeah, but I gotta spend some time with May.
You'll have all winter with me, Cookie. All winter.
We'll let you know where to meet us in Farmington. Okay, Walter.
Looks like a soft touch to me. An awful soft touch.
So, Don, as soon as the train got underway, these criminals planned to saw a hole in the floor of the carnival office wagon, which was loaded aboard the flat car. The escapade looked like a certain success, until another train brought an unwanted passenger.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now back to Gangbusters. You were telling us, United States Attorney Anderson, that burglars planned to board a flat car of a carnival train on which was loaded the office wagon of the show.
That's right, Don. And it was their intention to saw a hole in the bottom of the office wagon as the train rolled through the dead of night and open the small safe in which the funds of the show were kept. Late on the night of September 7th,
The train had pulled onto a siding at Farmington, Minnesota, to water and feed the menagerie as Cookie said it would. In the high weeds near the spot where the office wagon car had stopped, the other two conspirators were waiting.
I'll murder that Cookie. I'll kill her for not showing up.
The two of us can manage, Vince. Don't look so tough after all.
When I tell him to show up, I want him here.
Better keep your head down in the weeds. One of them trainmen's liable to spot us. Looks like he's getting finished up back there.
Okay. Grab the tools. Got him? Let's go. Okay. Get up. Give me your hand. Come on. Okay. I'm okay.
That's the signal to pull out.
Lay low. Here comes the guy with the lantern. Shut up and
hello. Hey, that Cookie punk doesn't come in for a full cut, is...
We'll see.
He didn't show up for the job, did he?
I'll take care, Cookie. Let's get busy on the floorboards.
$97. Cash included bills of $100, $500, and $1,000 denominations. All field offices directed to be on alert for spenders' unusually large bills.
Three bonds reported, gents. Three bonds reported. Knock the little lady off her perch and knock her into the drink.
Hey, Cookie. Did you hear about it, Cookie?
I hear about what?
There's FBI guys all over the lot. Some from St. Paul, some from Kansas City. Come here to Wichita special.
No kidding.
They got an idea it was an inside job.
Well, sure it was an inside job. Where'd anybody get the dope on the office wagon unless it was an inside job?
Are they questioning you yet?
Me?
Sure you. They're questioning everybody on the lot. Everybody from Mr. Sign of Checks all the way down.
What do they want with me? Three bonds for a quarter. How about it, fella? Three bonds for a quarter?
What do they want with you? What do they want with me? I was on the grill for an hour, nearly.
No kidding.
I told you, there's FBIs all over the place.
Ah, they'll never get a line.
I ain't too sure they ain't got a line already.
Huh? Who are you, J. Edgar Hoover?
It's okay. I got information.
Yeah?
Yeah. The rides foreman told me he had it from the ticket boss who got it right from Mr. Sign of Checks himself. The FBI's on the right track, and they'll wrap the whole thing up before the show breaks Wichita.
Three bonds for a quarter. Here you are, fella. Three for a quarter.
And
three.
He said it's somebody right here on the lot. That's who they're after, somebody right here on the lot. Fact of the business is they know who it is already. They're just waiting for him to make a move before they haul him in.
Go on, Joe. Get back to your stand before somebody hauls you in. Here you are, gents. Three balls for a quarter. Knock the little lady off her perch and into the drink. Knock her into the drink and see that beautiful golden haired creature take a bath. See her take a bath right before...
No, Vince, cut it out. I have to finish packing.
There's lots of time for packing, baby. We could stay in East St. Louis for another week. Come here.
Vince...
Tell me how much you miss Cookie.
Look, I really have to finish packing. You wanted to make Hot Springs the first night.
So we won't make Hot Springs.
And it'd be much nicer if we didn't have to drag that Walter along.
Walter's good for a lot of things, May, baby.
Shh. What's the matter?
Somebody's putting a key in the door.
I'll bet it's Cookie.
Oh, you're crazy. He couldn't be here.
May, are you...
Hey, what are you doing back here?
What's it look like I'm doing? I came back to see May. Hi, sweetheart.
Oh, Cookie, you shouldn't have come.
Who wants to stick around that show any longer? Things are getting hot.
I told you to stay out the season. Why didn't you show up to do the job?
I'll tell you why, because I played it smart. That's why. The FBI was around questioning everybody where they were the night of the job.
They didn't talk to you.
Sure they did. I was on the back end of the train, setting up all night, playing pinochle. I had seven witnesses.
counting kibbutzes.
You should have stuck out the season like I told you.
Yeah, well, you go back and work that lousy midway in my place. I came home to see my May, and I was going to... Hey, where were you counting on going?
What do you mean?
What are you packing your bags for? That's what I mean.
She was going to catch the train tonight for Wichita to meet you.
Is that right, May?
Sure, Cookie. Where else would I be going?
You better get back to the show, Cookie. Tell them you were picked up for being drunk or something, but get back today.
I told you I'm staying right here, me and May. And while we're on the subject, which we ain't, where's my cut of the dough?
Walter and I haven't talked it over yet.
What's there to talk over? You take it and you cut it three ways.
You think you're entitled to a full share?
Shut up, May. Whose side are you supposed to be on, anyway? I ask, what there's there to talk over?
You didn't show up for the job. That entitles you only the tipster's end. 10%.
What are you giving me 10%? I spent a whole summer on the job. You two guys spent one night. I don't settle for no 10%.
You're getting a little tougher than you used to be, Cookie.
Why shouldn't I get tougher after I see a few of the things that's going on around here? Packed up, huh? Going to Wichita, huh?
Yeah, I was going to wire you, Cookie.
Yeah, you were going to wire me. Anyhow, Vince, what about my dough?
We'll meet Walter tonight and talk it over.
Okay. I'll meet Walter. But I'm getting my full share. Where'd you put that keister of mine, May?
Keister?
Yeah, and the potato peelers.
Oh, in there, in the closet.
Much obliged. I'm going in the potato peeler business this afternoon, which is what I should have done 3 months ago.
Well, what are we going to do now?
Shall we leave tomorrow instead of today?
He's not going to sit still, Vince.
I've been taking it easy with him, baby. I didn't want him to cause us any trouble. Not until we're set. But tonight he gets the law laid down. About his cut. About you.
Hi.
Yes?
I'm Joe Carey. They said they wanted to see me in the office wagon.
Yes, I want to see you. I'm Special Agent Smith, Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, how are you?
Sit down, Joe.
Yeah, thanks. You know, another one of you FBI guys talked to me yesterday.
I know. It's about something different today.
Look, I didn't have nothing to do with the robbery, if that's what's on your mind.
I know you didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, that's good. Had me worried for a minute.
You know that your friend Cookie left the show?
He did?
Yes, he did.
Well, that's funny. I was talking to him just last night. He didn't say nothing about leaving.
He didn't say anything to anybody. He just left.
Say, you don't think he had anything to do with... Oh, not Cookie.
Well, let's see. He gives an East St. Louis, Illinois address. Do you know whether that's where he lives?
Yeah, that's where he lives, but you're barking up the wrong tree, Mr. Anybody but Cookie.
We'll have to check up on him anyway, leaving the show so suddenly it doesn't make it look too good for him. Now, I'm going to ask you a few more questions, and you give me the best answers you can. All we're trying to do is clear this thing up, and we intend to.
Now back to Gangbusters.
Look, Vince, I ain't satisfied with no $5,000.
Get it down, Cookie. There's people in the joint.
I'm telling you, $5,000 is more than you're entitled to, Cookie.
And it's final. Oh, yeah, Walter. Well, now let me tell you guys something. All I gotta do is peep one little word, see? Just one little word.
Cookie.
Don't cookie me, May. I know what you've been trying to get away with behind my back. How stupid do you think I am?
$5,000 is all, Cookie.
Yeah?
And who are you counting on peeping that one word to?
To who do you think? To the law, that's who.
Oh, that's not a very good idea, Cookie.
Cookie, get some sense, will you?
Shut up.
Take the $5,000, Cookie, and be glad you got it.
You don't take it and keep quiet. You're looking for trouble.
Trouble, huh? What kind of trouble could you give me?
Okay, Walla.
You sit still, Cookie. There's a gun in my lap. It's pointed right at your gut.
You see, Cookie?
You guys can't bluff me. Give me my third and I'll get out of here.
Sit still, jerk. We ain't bluffing.
Let's just imagine he was going to make trouble for us. After all, $5,000 is $5,000.
Yeah, now, look, fellas, I'll take the $5,000.
You're a little late, Cookie. I think you'll take a nice swim in Horseshoe Lake.
May, to talk to him, huh?
With a rock around your neck.
May, tell him I was kidding. I'll take the $5,000.
I got no influence, Cookie.
Now, get up and walk for the door.
Vince.
Get up, he said.
Now, look, fellas.
Now, walk for the door.
May. Do something for me, will you, May?
Shut up.
Do something, May, please. After what we've been together, May.
Had to get topped, didn't you, Cookie, huh?
May.
All right, hold it.
What?
Hey, watch what you're doing.
FBI, don't move.
Hey, listen,
stand
you...
Stand still.
Oh, brother, am I glad to see you.
We're glad to see you. Now get over, all of you. Walk out that door and don't give us any trouble. Because we just welcome trouble from guys like you. Now walk.
That, Don, was how agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation rounded up this gang whose crime might be called clever if they got away with it. But they didn't. The principal members of the gang were found guilty of theft from an interstate shipment and sentenced to a term of 8 years in a federal penitentiary. The other conspirator was given a term of 3.5 years.
Well, thank you, United States Attorney Anderson, for this most interesting case history. And gangbusters, congratulations to the federal agents who rounded up this troublesome gang of criminals. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Bill Smith and Gene Ellen in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
From sometime in the 1950s, it's been Gangbusters with the Carnival Caper. I'm afraid that's all the time we have today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long, and thanks for listening.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio,
copyright the Swing and Big Band Preservation Society, Incorporated. All rights reserved. You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio, KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big band swings.